So there's a big chunk of Parshas Vayetze that on the surface it's really hard to understand. Perhaps even more so than understanding the pshat, what these verses mean, it's even more difficult to understand how that's a lesson for us, at least in the details. Yaakov Avinu has been swindled and cheated by Lavan too many times, and it's time to take care of himself. He's got to make himself a living. So Lavan and Yaakov strike a deal. And then Lavan changes the deal. In fact, he changes it on him at least 100 times. But Yaakov nonetheless perseveres, and he becomes extraordinarily successful. And there's a story here with sheep, speckled sheep and spotted sheep, and ringed sheep. Somehow Yaakov manages to outsmart and outfox Lavan, and he has extraordinary success in developing these very unique flocks. At least one Israeli scientist has suggested that by analyzing these verses carefully, it seems that we can identify Gregor Mendel's early genetic research, and that this was actually genetic engineering, which may of course be the case. But I don't want to dwell on that. Not that there isn't what to dwell on, but that's not what we're going to dwell on this morning. Especially we started late, which I apologize for. So we're going to move straight into the climax. So what happens after all of these efforts? Yaakov Avinu is trying really hard to make a living and to outsmart Lavan. And Lavan takes away the fertile sheep, and he takes away the sheep who would be able to impregnate those sheep. And he leaves Yaakov with sickly sheep and old sheep. Every reason Yaakov should fail, but he doesn't. Rashi certainly suggests in at least one place that this was a miracle or a number of miracles that were related to the success as well. It wasn't only Yaakov's hard work, although his hard work has a lot to do with the success. As they say, you know, the harder you work, the more miraculous things get. So Yaakov worked very hard. But he had the siyata d'shmaya in a remarkable way of angels transporting sheep in the middle of the night. At any rate, it all climaxes and comes to a head in chapter 30, verse 43. The Torah says, "Vayifreis ha'ish me'ed me'ed." The man becomes exceedingly successful. Now, when we say the man becomes exceedingly successful, the man being Yaakov, we use the word "vayifreis," which is interesting. We've seen this word before. This was the word that God used to convey to Yaakov his fortunes and the fortunes of the nation that he would found. And Hashem tells Yaakov back earlier in the beginning of the parsha, Ufaratzta. Ufaratzta, Rashi there told us, means to powerfully spread forth. The Chazakta. It's like when something disables the water from flowing and then the water is held back. Eventually when it does come through, the water bursts through with great strength. What do we call that? The dam effect. So there's a dam effect here. And inasmuch as Yaakov's father-in-law tried to outsmart him and harm him, it had a positive effect in the end. And Yaakov exceeded all expectations. And that's the Vayifreitz. So Vayifreitz, based on what we said earlier, that the walls came down, so to speak. The borders came down. The expectations were dropped. In some of the Midrashim, it says that the walls of nature, or limitations of nature, the barriers of nature, had been shattered and broken. It's like when we say the stock market goes bullish and breaks all barriers, just or all records, euphemistically. Now, the Radak says that this means Yaakov had a lot of wealth. He says, Ufaratzta yama. It's as if the wealth itself couldn't be contained. It was just exploding all over the place. The place that Yaakov was in with his sheep couldn't contain the sheep he had. He didn't have enough real estate to contain his wealth, like a person who doesn't have enough room to put all of his residuals. And that's the meaning of breaking down. The Sephardim says there's what you call anticipated success. In Hebrew, we could call that gvul ha'atzlacha, the pushing the envelope. You know the kind of success that you can expect most of us operate within a frame of highs and lows. There's, you know, expect the worst and hope for the best. So there's the worst that you might expect, or no, things can go wrong. And then there's the best. How far can you push the envelope? How good can things get? Well, Yaakov broke all the barriers here. He broke apart, he shattered the glass ceiling, if you will. And he it was like nobody could ever have anticipated the kind of success that Yaakov achieved. All of this is contained in the word Vayifretz, a euphemism of Uferatzta, a permutation of it. Now it says Me'oid, Me'oid, very, very. That's a double. That's a double double emphasis. And according to the Medrash Seichel Tev, Me'oid means more than his father, and then another Me'oid means more than his father-in-law. So he broke all previous records. Yitzchak was a very wealthy man and a very successful man, as we learned in the previous parsha. Yaakov, at this point, by far exceeded the success of his father, and certainly the success of Lavan, who was very shrewd and very, very unscrupulous and will do anything for success. And he had success, but nowhere near the success that Yaakov had. He had many sheep. Rashi says, what does rabbis mean? Usually, the expression is tzon rav. That's how you say a lot of sheep, large flocks. Here it says tzon rabbis. So therefore, Rashi says the word rabot has the intimation not only of a lot, but also of parois v'ravois. These were sheep who had an extraordinarily high birth rate. These were extremely prolific sheep. Yeser misha'ar tzon. The birth rate, the prolific nature of these sheep, by far outpaced the prolific nature of other sheep. In other words, not only Yaakov had great wealth, he had great potential to develop future wealth, because these were sheep who bred at a much quicker pace than the average animals. So that's the idea of the Tzoyin Rabbis. And then the Torah says, he had Shvaches Vavodim, maidservants and servants, and people who were indentured to Yaakov's labor, who couldn't quit. Ugmalim, and he had camels. V'chamoyrim, and he had donkeys. So Rashi says, wasn't Yaakov a sheep trader? Like, wasn't he raising sheep, a sheep rancher? How do we end up with Shvaches Vavodim? Okay, they helped the sheep. Where'd the camels come from? Donkeys? What are they doing here? So Rashi says that these are things that Yaakov bought. And the message that we get here is that Yaakov Avinu, our father Jacob, made so much money off the sheep, he had lots of extra to purchase other things. And he did. And so Moicher Tzoyne B'damim Yikarim, he would sell his sheep, and they fetched a very high price because it was such special sheep, such powerful sheep, such prolific sheep. And then he would buy all of these other things like indentured laborers and camels and donkeys. In other words, Yaakov developed his wealth. He wasn't only a sheep rancher. Ultimately, he parlayed the wealth into a much broader and bigger way. All right, we're going to leave it at that for today from the actual Chumash due to our tardiness. And we're going to take a look at a beautiful lesson that the Rebbe teaches from this very idea. Now, what lesson could we learn from this other than you should get wealthy? Which is not really something the Torah says you have to do. What lesson can we learn from the fact that Yaakov had this great success, but also that he took the success and he turned it into other residuals, turned the sheep into goats, and into camels or donkeys? So, on page Ayin Tes in the Birum book, the Rebbe says, Al pi hayadua, based on the known adage that's promulgated by Ramban and many others, Maisa avos simin labanim, the acts of the fathers are a sign for the children. Yesh lafarish es inyan hatzayin v'harachush shel yankiv. We could clarify, explain, elucidate this idea of the sheep and the residuals of Yaakov b'avedase haruchnias shel kol Yehudi, in the spiritual service of every single Yid. What could we learn? What lesson can we download? What can we incorporate into our daily lives? I mean, okay, Yaakov was successful. That's great. Should we all be shepherds? Should we all purchase sheep? Do we need camels or goats? Do we need donkeys? So the Rebbe says, let's think carefully. When we speak about sheep, yes, of course, a mikra yotze mide pshuta, the scripture can never be construed from or misconstrued from its literal meaning. However, it has to mean more than just sheep. What's the euphemism? What's the metaphor? What's the representation of what would sheep be emblematic in our own behavior? So the Rebbe says, Tchunasan shel tzayin, the nature of sheep, shebehem hoysa hascholos avedasa shel yankiv. This is how Father Jacob initiated and began his development. This is how his wealth began to proliferate with sheep. It all started sheepishly. And this is hein beteles b'tzayin amanhigam. The nature of sheep is that they are docile. Sheep are, by their very nature, followers. That's what sheep do. V'lechol asher yachbeitz yata isim. The good shepherd, or even the sheep who leads the pack, the other sheep will simply follow him. The flock will follow the leader. In fact, when we talk about follow the leader, we invoke the imagery of sheep. And when we talk about sheep doing something foolish for themselves, we use the expression, like sheep to the slaughter. And people who are sheepish are kind of like easygoing and, okay, whatever you say, I'm not going to fight with you. I won't argue. The sheep do the same thing. They don't. There's no surprises in sheep grazing. When you're in the business of shepherding sheep, it's not like you wake up every morning wondering what's going to happen today. The sheep are predictable. They simply and sheepishly eat the pasture. They drink the water, and they stand around and moo or whatever, bow, whatever they do. They don't do anything. V'gam heim chaloshim b'tivim kitoldosim. Sheep are also, by their very nature, weaker animals. They're not mountain goats. They don't want climbing mountains. They're not known for galloping at great speeds. They're not pack animals that you can load up. The sheep don't do those things. The only thing you really get from sheep is wool and maybe some milk. That's what you get from sheep. V'harei nikeru murgishbem. One could see and identify b'chinas habitl. Incidentally, everything we just said is a direct quote from the Alter Rebbe's Maimer, Likutei Torah, and Parshas Emor. So sheep are by nature, he says, they're simply self-effacing. Yes, sir, that's what the sheep represents. Sheepish behavior means, in Torah, bittul, self-abnegation, a readiness, a preparedness to accept the yoke. Kach tzricha liyeis ascholos avidasa shel Yehudi. Well, guess what? Jacob's beginning with sheep is a message for us. Our Aveda, our commitment to Hashem, should be sheepish. Meaning, Mitechis Batlus Mochletes Klap Yakadish Baruch Hu. Aveda's Hashem begins not with, let me see what the Torah has to say, and I will decide if in fact I like this or will reject it. That is not the way we start off our Yiddishkeit. The way we start off our Yiddishkeit, both in the beginning of our lives and every single day, is with the concept of Hoido'ah, we accept. Kabbalas El Malchus Shemayim. The Yid's supposed to read the Shema every morning. He accepts the yoke of heaven. L'loi hergashas mitziyusei v'ritzeneisa ve'ishim. It's not about how do I feel about this. It's not about do I like this. It's not about do I agree with this. That's not what it's about. That's not how Yiddishkeit functions. It's nice to feel for things. It's nice to feel good about things. But that's not what Yiddishkeit's about. Yiddishkeit's about, first and foremost, the foundation of Yiddishkeit is to be ready to listen, to be ready to accept, to be ready to follow. As we know, when Hashem offered the Torah to the Jewish people, our proverbial response was, Nasa v'nishma. We will obey. We'll also try to learn and understand and appreciate this. But the first thing is obedience. And so the obedient sheep represents the obedient behavior in our lives. So the question then becomes, is that it? Can you go through life sheepishly? Is that good enough? Ela bekach, ulam bekach ein dai. However, the Rebbe tells us, in truth, that's not good enough. It's not enough for us to just be sheepish in our Aveda. Kishem she Yaakov mocher chelik mitzenei. Just like Yaakov sold some of the sheep, not all the sheep, not even most of the sheep, but some of the sheep. The rochash dvarim neisafim. He bought other things. Kach tzarech Yehudi lirchesh tchunas nesafes. At some point, you have to learn to acquire other character traits and work on additional development in your personality. B'neisif l'tchunas is batlos v'hashiflus. In addition to the behavioral traits of self-abnegation, of humility, of acceptance, of obedience, nidreshes mimenu gam tchuna shel azus u'gvura. There also needs to be strength. There also needs to be conviction. There also needs to be an inner sense of security and self-confidence, a readiness to take on the big bad world. In the words of our sages, which the Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe began the Shulchan Aruch the second time around with these exact words, and the big Shulchan Aruch talks about this right in the beginning. Sheloi lehizbayish b'fnei b'nei adam hamaligim. Not to experience any shame or chagrin, not to hang your head sheepishly when people mock you for what you're doing. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch begins. It begins with this idea, do not be ashamed, instead walk with pride. Lehizgaber al yitzrei kegibur hamizgaber al seinei. We should be like a mighty warrior who overcomes his enemies. Lenatzchu la'apila la'aretz. We're in a wrestling match. Throw your opponent to the ground. You have to overcome. You have to be able to succeed. In other words, it's not enough to be sheepish. A yid also has to be bullish. And even though we didn't talk about bulls here, we just talked about camels. We talked about donkeys. But I think camely and donkely is not an English word, but bullish is. So from sheepish, you need to be bullish. And you need to know how to be aggressive at the right time. And you need to know how to be strong. You need to know how to stand your ground. You need to know how to do what's necessary so that you don't become inundated and overwhelmed by the influences that surround you. After all, our job is not to be influenced by the world or inundated by it. Our job is to influence and change the world. Ella, shahasoga satchuna sanesophis. It's acquiring of these additional traits. Tzricha lehizbatzea toich amida b'misper tnoim. There are, however, conditions. When it comes to this abundance of self-confidence, when it comes to this inner strength, this fortitude, this willingness and readiness to confidently take on our opponents, there are a number of caveats. Caveat or condition one. Yain kev kona es harachush hanaysef bekesef shemocha b'yis hatzayin. So Father Jacob had the sheep. He then sold the sheep. And when the sheep were converted into liquidity or cash, he used the cash or liquidity to purchase the camels, the donkeys, and go bullish. In other words, semel habitl, the sign, the insignia, if you will, of bitl hamuchlat, that's the sheep. And in other words, tchunas hatoikif, the idea of inner strength, this azus, this gvura, this, you know, borderline insolence, as we are robustly confident, it's got to be founded on, it's got to be based on the sheepish behavior. It's not chalila kitchuna atzma'is. It's not an independent and separate reality. Hamavuseses al mitziyosi ha'ishes shel ha'adam, where a person says, "I am self-confident. I can take on the world. I fear not, and I am prideful and strong." That's not what it's about. It's about taking the sheep. It's about taking the bittel and converting that into confidence and strength. So that's a very important thing to note, because there's a big difference between healthy self-confidence and between arrogance. A big difference between self-determination or pride in Yiddishkeit and my preparedness and willingness to do what Hashem asks of me, regardless of how difficult it might sometimes get. That I should influence the world, not sheepishly, but aggressively. But to do so based on my sheepish approach towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov Avinu, indeed, he did have a bullish approach to life, but only because he had a sheepish approach to Hashem. It was based on the sheepish, the docile, the obedient, the humble approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Yaakov Avinu was able to draw strength and convert that then into the strength to face down whatever might have surrounded or inundated or threatened him. That's number one. That's condition one. What is it predicated on? What is it manufactured from? From whence does it come? Number two is Gam Kishi Yankiv Higdal Esrchushay. Even when Yaakov did indeed expand his residuals, and he had a range of wealth, and he did so al Yedei Knias Shvachas Va'avadim, he did so by purchasing. He purchased, he made money from the sheep, and used the money from the sheep to create a workforce and to create other residuals that were necessary. The Gemalim and the Chamayrim, these animals that were used for business purposes. You know, there's a bumper sticker out there that says, if trucks stop, Canada stops. You need trucks. Trucks is how merchandise is transported across the country. We live in a very big country that doesn't have a waterway that makes its way across. How do you do commerce? How do you do business? Transportation. What was the trucks of yesteryear? The trucks of antiquity. Camels and donkeys. The camel has stamina, or even if it doesn't have so much strength, and the donkey cannot go for days on end, but the donkey is bony and is very, very powerful. You can really load him up. So Yaakov bought these things, and he was involved in commerce, and he did do business. However, the question must be asked and answered. What was Yaakov's primary business? Not what was his secondary, not what was a tributary, not sheep. His primary function, his primary business remained the sheep. Kach gam ha'adam. Here in the metaphor that we have interpreted the sheep into sheepish and bullish behavior, so it is also with a person. Even though sometimes you need to be able to transport your Yiddishkeit. And to transport it in the desert, you need a camel who's got stamina. To transport it in a world that's hostile, you need that pack donkey who's going to be able to load up and not listen to the voices or the naysayers. That all may all be true. However, Sricha Hargoshas is batlas klapei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Inasmuch as you're bullish, you're aggressive, you're certain, that's only for the outside world. However, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you remain docile, you remain willing and ready and obedient to do it as Hashem pleases. That remains the main thing in your soul. And that is the primary lesson. There is, of course, a secondary lesson we can learn from this, but we're out of time. So that's to be sheepish and sometimes a little bullish. And live like Yaakov. Thank you.